still my heart.
Well, it is another week, and this is Andrew Wood, joined as always by good friend, mentor, disciple maker, father, husband, not mine, but all of those things, Jason Hayes,
hey.
Pastor. Hey, man, what's up?
How are you, brother?
I'm good.
Man.
So we are coming off of a pretty big week, not just for Shoreline, but for City Church and Hope Fellowship and Lessons.
And Hope Resource Center.
And Hope Resource Center, yeah.
Big week for you guys.
So last week we had Lessons and Carols.
Yep.
And it was amazing.
It was amazing. So for those of you that don't live in the Knoxville community, we have this beautiful theater called the Bijou Theater. And we gathered not just only our church, but two other congregations and just did a big event together. One of the ancient traditions of the faith, this Lessons and Carols, a real walk through the gospel, through song and through scripture. And man, it was just really, really powerful. You actually recited some of our scripture
and did
a great job with it. But man, it was really, really sweet. And one of the cool things we also were able to do with these three churches is we were also a part of this thing called Give Knoxville. We've been talking about for the last several weeks, and we provided Christmas gifts for every foster child in Knox County DCS. And then in addition to that, because we reached every goal, we were able to provide a gift card for every family that was, housing one of those children and helping care for one of those children. In addition, we were able to make a donation to the clothing closet here in Knoxville on behalf of every one of those children. And then in addition, we were able to give still several thousand dollars to the Department of Children's Service directly earmarked for PATH classes, which are the classes that people go through if they are pursuing fostering in their very own home. So almost $50,000 raised between our three churches and a really amazing night of worship last Sunday night. And so, man, we're celebrating.
You know, and what I want to say is I was thinking last night as I was looking at the goals that Shoreline and the other churches met. The beautiful thing about that is in the work that I do at Hope Resource Center and talking about life issues, and I'm constantly, people are coming up and saying, look, all you care about is baby. Once baby's born, you don't care. And which is just, we've talked about it
not
before
true.
On the podcast right. and on the show that, look, the church is doing more for the orphan than anybody. But what I love about this is, You have a diverse group of people from
yep.
all walks of life,
from churches across parts,
different churches, different
yep.
political parties, all of those things, saying,
right.
"Look, this matters. The orphans in our community matter. Those that are in state custody matter. Those that have foster parents matter. Those that are looking for forever homes matter. And we're going to do something about it." And I love the fact that the church came together and said, look, we're not going to wait for somebody else to step in. We're going to do it.
Yeah.
And it's a beautiful thing. And then on top of that, with Lessons and Carols, I was with Josh Loveless yesterday, who's in Need to Breathe.
Which should be noted, I did see you on the television.
I was on the television.
And you were spectacular.
Thank you. I appreciate
it. What station were you on?
That was on Channel 6,
okay,
WATE.
Yeah. Okay, and I think you're going to be on other stations this week.
Tomorrow, on Thursday, yep. I will be on WBIR.
Yeah, so I loved the segment that I saw. I mean, you were very cozy with Josh.
I was.
The sense of they had put you
like you guys sitting in his lap.
You guys were very close on that little couch together.
Yeah, and I was able to look at Josh last night and say, hey, I played the Bijou this past weekend, and he was really impressed. And I was like, well, I mean, I quoted some scripture.
Yeah, I stood on the stage for a minute.
Well, and it was full.
A lot of more talented people did stuff.
And then and when he walked into the studios over at WATE, he said, I've never been here before, and I've been on the show. I've been on WATE multiple times.
Mr. Celebrity,
so he said,
me just walk you around.
He said, I've never been here before, and I was like, well, I haven't played Red Rocks, so you have. So let's just put this in perspective.
That's exciting. So, Friday night, give everyone
a
quick peek at
Friday
what it's all
night
about.
Is we're having a benefit concert with Josh Loveless and Young Folk and friends. And so Josh Loveless plays the keyboard and piano and
everything
plays
else.
Everything. And
harmonica.
So,
the
yeah, he's part of Need to Breathe, which is an amazing group out there. If you look them up, and they have an amazing album out right now, the acoustic album.
Yep.
But Josh also has a children's album. And so we're having a concert Friday night at One Life, the East Campus. over 2900 Knoxville Center Drive. Come out and join us because and bring your children. This is we were looking at doing something around Christmas time that was going to be family friendly. You don't have to find a sitter. Bring your children. It's going to be a blast. And tickets start if your child is 6 and under, they're free. Or 5 and under, they're free. Children 6 to 12 are $8. Adults 13 and up are $12. So $8 for 6 to 12 years old, 13 and up, $12. And then there's also meet and greet packages. If you want to meet Josh and kind of hang out with him for a second, you can. And all of that is at investinghope.com. Click on the Get Involved tab and then events, and you'll find it. It's going to be a fun night. We'll raise some money for Hope. And all the money that we raise will go to Hope Resource Center and the work that we're doing with women in this community. But we're just grateful for Josh. I posted on Instagram last night. Find you someone that looks at Josh Loveless the way I look at
there was a picture Josh Loveless. That if you all do not follow Andrew on social media, you need to jump on and do that because he has posted a picture of him very closely admiring Josh again from the neighboring seat and is giving a stare that is one of a great admiration.
Yeah. And my wife, I showed her last night what I posted, and then Josh had commented with a bunch of hearts. And my wife said, "You really need to comment and explain some things to anyone that may not know
fair
y'all."
Fair enough. Wow, man.
But no, it was a great time. And we know that around Christmas, around any holiday,
lots of fun stuff, a lot of
joy, a lot of happiness. But there's also the truth of the matter is, in a broken, fallen world, there's a lot of sadness.
Right.
There's a lot of depression, anxiety that comes along with this. And that's going to be our topic today as we talk the rest of the hour.
Right. Absolutely. We were talking just yesterday about, you know, what would be the ideal discussion for us to have this afternoon. And really it does come back down to we do live in a fallen world. And while we all love the pageantry and I love special events like Lessons and Carols and this concert Friday night and all the Christmas parties and things of that sort, this Christmas season and the holiday season as a whole can be brutal for a lot of folks. And so I started there, and then I just began to realize that, you know, the season certainly adds in some variables. But for many people, life is just hard, and it's not always just circumstantially. At times, it really is mired by a very real thing that is depression. We could probably talk about mental health as a whole in a broader scope today, but we're not going to do that. We're really going to focus mostly on depression. I know that anxiety is intimately connected to that as well. But this is something that's really personal to me. In fact, Andrew knows we were actually going to have my personal counselor on the show this morning or this afternoon, and the plan was going to be to continue to have this discussion, but he had to take care of a couple of those clients. But this is something that I have wrestled with. And for whatever reason, I think when it comes to mental health and when it comes to counseling as a whole and some of the issues that we battle with, this has been something that many people have just kept in the dark. It's been this thing that has a certain stigma associated with it. And we just want to do everything we can to expose that today and to say to some folks, hey, you're not alone. That this is something that with the grace of God, we can attempt to conquer, or at least we can attempt to maintain some balance in the midst of, and maybe just maybe even flourish in the midst of, but it is very, very real.
Well, and the sad truth nowadays, when we talk about mental health or depression or anxiety or medication or counseling or any of those things, it tends to be in the moments of tragedy where we see extreme tragedy where a school is shot up or a club is shot up or some event is shot up. And the first thing you hear is mental health. And so you immediately in your mind, whether you admit it or not, we start to say, oh, well, that's what folks do when they're depressed.
Right.
They go and do these things. But the reality is the vast majority of the people that are dealing with this issue, they're you work with them.
Correct.
You go to church with them. They're your neighbors.
They're your pastor.
And so it's not just the extreme. It's people that are truly battling it and struggling through it. And it's not, I think in some ways we haven't really addressed it because people don't know what to say about it. And also there was a time, a generation maybe, we were raised to not show that. And so,
It was almost an expression of weakness.
Yeah.
If you had something that seemed to be debilitating you and you couldn't really put your finger on it and you couldn't really describe it. And that's one of the things that's always complicated about depression is that many people who have never experienced depression really don't mm-hmm. know what it is. And yet those of us that have battled it really still struggle to describe it to a certain degree. I often describe it as almost a fog or a weight or an ongoing, what feels like just a constant battle to do mm-hmm. just everyday things. That is something that's out there, but it's very difficult to describe to those that have never experienced it. And as you said, maybe in generations past, that was also maybe received as some sign of weakness or laziness or apathy. And so again, here we are today in 2018, wrapping up 2018 and saying, let's talk about it in the right way.
Yeah. And so again, it's one of those things where no matter the, that's why we have this show is we talk about what goes on between Sundays because the church needs to be addressing these problems. What's going to be the fix for a fallen world? It's the gospel. It's Jesus ultimately coming back, but using his church to engage in the process. Why did we engage with foster families and DCS? Because the church right. can step into that. Why should we be engaged in mental health and depression and anxiety? Because the church correct. Needs to be engaged in that. That doesn't mean that we're going to sit here and say that just go to church on Sundays, quit taking your meds, everything's yeah. going to be fine. That's not what we're saying. But what we are saying is the church has to be having this conversation. It's the right. same thing when I go and talk to churches about the abortion issue and look at pastors and say, Pastor, if the statistics are true, 1 in 3 women, 1 in 3 people, men included, have dealt with abortion. You need to know that there's people within your congregation that have dealt with that.
Right.
And not gloss over it as if because we're the church, we don't have messiness inside of our building. And so the same thing with mental health right. and depression. We need to know, and of course, you've been directly impacted by it. But if you're a pastor out there listening who's never struggled with that, you need to know that there's people within your congregation that are struggling, yeah. looking and looking for someone to talk to about their depression. And so when we come back from the break, I think we need to go into kind of where the genesis of the depression comes in, and also look at with Genesis 3 in the fall, that it didn't just mess some things up between man and woman, but it fractured our bodies.
Right.
And we're not in balance, and all of these things that come along with that. And that's where we'll go when we come back for break.
We think about this, and I share with our body personal kind of anecdotes or things that are in my life. I could talk about parenting. I could talk about marriage. And I'll have people come up after a service and say, hey, that resonated with me. But when I share about some of the mental health stuff, mm-hmm. and I talk about depression, and people come out of the woodwork. And, we in our flesh are drawn towards isolation and shame, and that's not of the gospel, so we're going to stand against it.
Yep. So today's topic is one that I think is very important.
But before we go any further than that, let me just mention, I know in our first segment, you mentioned this deal Friday night. Mm-hmm. And you mentioned a paid meet and greet with Josh Loveless. Mm-hmm. Is there a meet and greet with Andrew Wood? And the question is, how much are you personally having to pay those people to attend your meet and greet? I know that the other way around, people pay extra money to meet Josh. Are you having to pay people to meet you?
Now here's the truth of the matter is Josh doesn't know there's a meet and greet. And so I'm going to be at that meet and greet that people are paying to meet Josh, but in reality it's going to be me. And so Josh is going to show up right in time to do the show
with a bunch of infuriated and be like, "What is people?"
And I'm going to walk in and they're going to be like, "You're not.
No, you're
not,
not
Josh." Mm. My brother texted me last night and said, "Y'all look like a band." I was Josh and Aaron Porter. And I was like, yeah, that was my goal, but they would never let me in any kind of band that they had. But my goal was to look like I was part.
Do you feel like you would have a band name?
I don't know. We all were very hairy
like beards. The bearded wonders, yeah, or something like that.
The yeah, something like that. Something with beard in the title.
Christmas,
I think
the Christmas
would be,
beards.
I would love to just have a Christmas band where that's all we did, and we would come out around December 1, and we would do
shut
a
it down on
December
the 26th.
Tour, and that was it.
I like that.
Yeah, I think that's what I'm going to do. Well, I can't play anything.
Something to
but,
consider.
Maybe something a tambourine.
So, anyways, getting back to much more important discussion.
So as we look at the topic of depression and anxiety, you know, before we ended the last segment, we were talking about kind of the genesis, where it comes from. And I would love to hear just from someone that has seen it in family and friends. I think there's a segment of the population that see depression as a result of, well, they just had a rough family life
Correct.
Growing up, or they had, you know, their family struggled, or it was a single family home, or
a result of some like personal sin.
Right.
Or
right. Or they were, yeah, they were abused or something like that. But the reality is you could have been in an amazing, loving family and still deal with this issue.
Absolutely. It is so complex. And, you know, we do on this show, we reference back to Genesis 3 a lot. And because we believe that it is, so significant in this larger thing of redemption that Jesus did. I mean, if you don't recognize how fallen you are, you don't really understand the value of grace mm-hmm. and what Jesus is redeeming us from. And so we often say that, you know, sin didn't just begat more sin, didn't just bring on more sin. It brought on fallenness. And so fallenness includes all kinds of things. And it means not only do we have failings societally. It doesn't just mean we have failings culturally. It means even things like our physical body mm-hmm. is going to fail us at some point. And so, you know, I've been dealing with a sciatic issue. You want to talk about making a man feel old, is dealing with ongoing back issues. And Andrew knows I basically have to Tebow all around town. So if you know the old Tebow, you know where he would have to, like, you know, after the touchdown, he would bend down and take a knee. Mm-hmm. I have to Tebow all across town because I need relief from my back. My leg will go completely numb. I have this sciatic issue. And so, you know, we were at Dollywood not too long ago, and I'm Tebowing everywhere. People are like, man, this guy's getting fired up to ride this ride. You know, no, I'm just.
He's a prayer warrior.
Yeah, he is prayed up to jump on the Wild
Go
Eagle.
Go to your prayer closet, Pastor. Yeah.
No, and so the point is, so last week, actually, went and saw a doctor friend of mine and had an MRI, and before you knew it, ended up having, you know, herniated discs and needed an injection in my spine. And the point is, I've got this weakened left leg, and on Saturday, I'm at a basketball court with my youngest son, and my wife asked for something. She was in the bleachers below me. She had just come in. She needed the car keys. I'm kind of walking that way, and my leg goes out, and no joke, I fall down like 8 levels of bleachers in the basketball.
Laughing.
Yes,
sorry,
you are. You're blatantly laughing. And you're like, man, what is it? Like, how humbling that is. I didn't care about, I had no concern about the humiliation of falling down the steps. What was more frustrating was, like, my body is failing me. And this is one of these things that I believe, even as we consider depression, we're reminded that we are fallen beings mm-hmm. that experience the result of the fall. And so at times our minds, our brains, the chemical balance, all that other stuff sometimes just doesn't fire correctly. And so in many cases, that has nothing to do with certain circumstances mm-hmm. or events that happened in our life or a bad choice. It is just, I've got a thyroid issue or any number of other things. And then there is the whole other side of the spectrum. And so what we don't want to do is minimize
right.
It is very hard when you lose a loved one.
Sure.
It is incredibly difficult to try to, you know, figure out what happened to you when you were abused as mm-hmm. a 10-year-old or anything that is traumatic that has happened in your life. We're just saying the scope is very, very broad. And sometimes we don't even always know how we got into that place. And I do believe at times there's value to being able to see that. But really our goal in today's show is to figure out, no matter how we got to where we're at, what do we do with it now?
Well, and that's what you constantly hear when you when you see, you know, whether it be a celebrity or even a friend or somebody in the community that that kind of depression took hold, what you constantly hear, man, they seemed like everything was okay.
Yeah.
Or there weren't any red flags. And then what people sit down and they start to really think back through their relationship and they're going, oh, that might have been kind of him calling for help.
Yeah.
And we just glossed over it. And so those are things that we as the church body have to be aware of. And you can't be aware of those things if you don't have relationships with people.
Right.
And so I believe the do life together phrase that we have in church is played out, and it really irks me when I hear it. But there's truth to being in community and,
right.
and knowing people on a level where they can look at you and say, "Is everything okay?"
Well, if we're made as if we are indeed image bearers,
sure.
God exists in community. God the Father, God the Son,
absolutely.
God the Spirit. If He exists in community, then while it might not always be quite as cliche as the church wants it to look or to feel, there is a point that we should exist in meaningful and I would say biblical community mm-hmm. as Christ followers.
Yeah, and it makes a difference when you can look at a friend or a brother or sister and go, "Is everything okay?"
Yeah.
And you feeling like you can truly look at them and go, "No, right now it's not."
Yeah, did you see this Wall Street Journal? Yeah, yep. It was the Wall Street Journal article, right?
Yeah.
Did you see that?
Yeah, about baby boomers.
Yeah. Give us. I just thought it was interesting. A little bit off topic, but the point about isolation.
Yeah,
and
so
loneliness.
We have a generation in the baby boomer generation that from studies and research appears to be one of the loneliest generations. And I'm going to say millennials and on further, we're going to see that play out as well.
I wonder if social media is going to change a lot of that too.
And because right. what we have now is we have many baby boomers who are, whether it be because of divorce or a spouse dying, children moving away, where they're lonely and they don't have relationships. They've stopped going to church, or if they go to church, they don't really build community within that church. And so they are waking up every day retired. They have somewhat financial stability, and they're by themselves and they're alone. And that is beginning to play out with depression and anxiety and sadness, because we have they can look back and look at all the wonderful times of their kids running around, and yet here they are now by themselves in a nursing home or by themselves right. in their apartment or their condo with no one there to kind of celebrate with them at Christmas. And I'm always reminded during the holidays too is there's a really good chance you're going to go to Christmas event this year with your family and one chair is going to be empty, even though a person was in that chair just last year.
Yeah.
I know family, I know friends right now that their granddad is not going to last probably between now and Christmas.
Right.
So last year, up and everything great and celebrating, and this year his seat's going to be vacant.
Yep.
And so we have to recognize in those moments that it's not just our peers, but our moms, our dads, our grandparents are lonely right now, and there's a good chance that generation is not going to look at you and say, "I'm lonely and I need
right.
somebody."
Right. And when we come back from the break, we're going to talk about, you know, for many of us, we say we got people all the way around us, but it doesn't necessarily take away some of that depression. And
sure.
So how do we find that balance?
Absolutely. So today's conversation is an important one as we look at the issue, not just the cultural issue, the biblical issue, what we find ourselves in with depression, anxiety, and struggles and worry. And we were talking at the last segment that there is a part of that that is built in loneliness. And so we have a generation that may be lonelier than the previous generation. And so they're dealing with struggle, depression, and anxiety because they're lonely. But it's not just that.
Right.
It's not just because you don't have people around you.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I'll speak towards my own personal story. I mean, we are as connected relationally as I could mm-hmm. imagine. I mean, we have this amazing faith fellowship. We know all kinds of folks in town. I grew up in this community. Carrie and I both went to college here. I mean, we know a lot of people. And yet but just last week, I came home at the end of a day, two or three days in a row, and got done at the end of a day at 5 or 6 o'clock, And it was everything I could do. It took everything in me to not just go to bed. And it, not because I was just physically tired, but because for whatever reason, I think we'd had, it was just a lot. You know, there was a lot of stuff going on and it was just flat out heavy and it was clearly depression. And so I think my point would be relationships do not make depression go away. However, relationships are critical in processing that depression. And so the fact that I could have a relationship like I've got with you, I mean, we talk on air, of course, you know,
our Wednesday relationship,
right. You know, but I could shoot you a text and say, hey man, pray for me.
Absolutely.
Or I can go to my counselor and say, hey, I need to talk through this. Or our staff is aware enough of to know, hey, I battle some of this stuff at times. And so again, relationships aren't going to make depression go away, but I do believe they help us walk through it. And there are a number of other things that help us walk through it. And so that's what we want to focus on the rest of our time here today.
Well, and I remember growing up, I had my best friend in all through high school, and still to today, to this day.
You're about to say me, right?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. All through high school.
Okay, got it.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, right.
Yeah. And
all
so
the way
this other guy, that all through high school, it was clear there was some, we were high schoolers and we didn't completely understand, but clearly there was some chemical imbalance. Something was going on. There was highs and lows and, you know, emotional times. And I remember, Throughout that, and he, you know, him seeking counseling and things getting better and kind of coming out on the other side of it. But watching that and because we were so close, he was like a brother to me that we fought for each other. I mean, and my brothers fought for him and look, we're not going to let you and let this take over who you are. This isn't who you are. And knowing that was hard. That was a hard relationship. That was a hard, it's hard to love people.
Right.
You know, when you, I think this past Sunday, you talked about the commercial where the dogs and the adopt dogs in the arms of an angel. Yeah. It's easy to love animals.
Now, does Sarah McLachlan know that Silent Night was not written for animals?
I don't know about animals?
Are they aware of that?
If I'm honest, I don't think so. I don't think she knows
that. So we have digressed.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can send emails to Andrew.
Right. No, you can't. And so as we look at that, it's easy to love animals because, your dog's always going to be excited in your home. But it's hard to love people. It's messy. They're going to hurt you. You're going to hurt them. They're going to betray you. You may betray them. But we have to be a people that say, even if that's the chance, I'm still going to love you and fight for you. And I think sometimes as dudes, we hear that language and we're like, okay, that's weird. You're going to love and fight for your boy.
Yeah, I am.
That's what we've been called to do.
Yep. So the million-dollar question I think most people have is medicinal help appropriate? Is it okay? And so I think our position is going to be to say it really depends on your situation. Mm-hmm. You know, I personally do take something, a very small dosage of something I take every day and have taken it for several years. And there's been two or three times I've tried to go off of it. And that has not always been terribly, you know, effective for me. And yet the reason I would say is the category that I think that it is not is either in cases where this is, hey, cousin so-and-so has something and he just offered me a Xanax or something of that sort, and it helps them. That is not appropriate medical care. And then we would also say there's a balance too with exclusively believing that medicinal is the only help. I personally do not sit in a camp that says this is exclusively a physical issue. I believe it is physical. It is physiological. It is spiritual. It is emotional. And so my encouragement is if medicinal help is a piece of a more holistic care for you in terms of depression, then by all means step in, but do it responsibly.
And would you argue as a pastor, would you also encourage other pastors if a person, a member, a partner of your congregation comes to you and you can sense like, that they're going to need more than sitting down with the pastor. They may need professional counseling, or obviously from a biblical worldview. Yes. But would you argue that pastors need to be bold enough to say, look, I'm happy to talk with you, but I would also encourage you to meet with my friend or this counselor?
Absolutely.
As well.
Yeah, it was Shoreline. I mean, I don't want to make light of it. This is more, self-defaming here. But I mean, if people are, if their care is exclusively in my hands, they are in really bad shape. In the sense of, I feel like I have high mercy, but mm-hmm. I'm not necessarily an overly gifted counselor. And yet, that's okay. It's okay mm-hmm. for me to say, all right, let's take a next step. And so in our case, probably the next step is going to be, let's sit down with Henry Beaver, mm-hmm. who's our pastor of Partner Care, or maybe, hey, let's get involved in Celebrate Recovery, because Celebrate Recovery is not just for addiction. It's also for hurts and habits and hangups. And sometimes right. that can include things like depression. But then also even those guys would say, all right, there's cases that are even beyond us. And so that's where you step into a relationship with someone like I have. I meet with an amazing counselor here in the Knoxville community, T.L. Holt, and T.L. is amazing, and he is a non-negotiable on my calendar. It is something that happens on a regular basis, and things get moved to make sure mm-hmm. that happens. And so, yeah, by all means, if you say, hey, I need help, but I'm not really sure my pastor can help me, don't stop there. Either ask your pastor to refer to you someone right. else, or just begin to look up. There's all kinds of wonderful facilities here in our community.
And you were talking about Henry. The amazing thing about Henry is he also wears those glasses that split at the nose piece.
That is correct.
Which tells you,
he's a gifted counselor.
Yeah, you don't need to really see anything.
And I see in our sermon discussion time, occasionally the glasses come down low on the nose.
That's
wisdom increases the lower the glasses.
Yeah, whenever I see Henry split the glasses at the nose piece and then put them around his neck, I'm like, man, I could tell that dude anything. Anything at all. But seriously, he's very gifted.
Absolutely.
And the Lord is using him in an amazing way. And so as you look at that, I think we have to be aware that it's okay to go talk with a doctor.
Yes.
It's okay to take medicine. It's okay even while you're taking that to say, I don't know, maybe I'm relying on this too much. And maybe having more conversations with folks. All of those things are good. That means you're working through what your body is dealing with. And again,
and our bodies change.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's something, people will say, I don't know what's going on with me. And you're like, well, you lost 40 pounds in the last 6 months, or you gained 40 pounds the last 6 months, or, I had that surgery and I can't figure out why all of a sudden my mind feels like it's in a fog. You're like, because our bodies are mm-hmm. doing different things. Plus, we have a tendency just to go through life, and we really do exist in this kind of protection mode that sometimes we just get by things and we forget about the weight that they brought to them. I mean, you're like, hey, your mother died a year ago.
Right.
Like, that is really weighty. It is heavy. And I'm glad you're doing well, but let's not act as if it didn't potentially do something to kind of lower the gauge. In fact, I often talk about, we have a certain meter, I believe, emotionally. And so, things bring that meter up, and or we have kind of within that range, we have ups and downs. Mm-hmm. But there are certain things in our life that literally make the entire meter reset, like just go down. They drop down. And so now our highs aren't quite as high, and our lows feel extra, extra low. Yeah. And for some of us, we're like, how did we get here? Well, again, we don't always know how we got here, but the point is we've got to bring it to light with medical care, psychological care, with spiritual help and guidance and counselors. This is just something we cannot sit. And what did Adam do in the garden? He remained in isolation mm-hmm. and shame. And there are so many people, even when I communicate, I guarantee, having spoken about it on the air today, I will have someone walk up to me in the coming days and say, I struggle with this.
Yeah, and what we have to do, I even look at my children when they're acting a little out of sorts, and I look at them and I say, what has happened in the last few days that I'm not aware of? Because I do believe something has triggered that. And if we need to look in our own selves and go and recognize, there's been moments where I've had conversations with people, and I hang up the phone and I go, what was I doing? And you have to call back and apologize because you're out of whack.
Right.
And you... you can't explain it in the moment, but we need to be reflecting on that and seeking out assistance.
Correct.
To find that. We'll be back in a sec. So as we do every week, we hope that this conversation has been fruitful and helpful in your walk and what the Lord has for you as we inch closer to Christmas and the end of the year, and a lot of anxiety may come with that. But we do pray that the Lord is present and revealing things to you. So let's shift gears a little bit as we close out the show. Coming up is Christmas Eve. Shoreline has, I don't know, like 15 services they're doing for, I'm kidding, it's not that many.
It will not be 15.
For Christmas Eve. And so that's always a fun time to come together as a family. We light candles and all of that. And Jason, I'm reminded anytime I talk about. I go to a candlelight service, I'm reminded of something that you did. At a Shoreline service,
yes.
when you were talking about people,
yes,
lighting their candles.
Yes.
And let's just have a moment of reflection.
So we're doing five. Let me just say this. We're doing five services this year. The 23rd, we're doing two services in that afternoon. On the 24th, we'll do three services. All five services are identical. So hopefully that provides a lot of flexibility for people's schedule. It is basically a Christmas Eve service. It is a traditional Christmas Eve, mm-hmm, service, even though a couple of them are going to be on the 23rd. And yes, indeed, we will do a traditional lighting of the candles at the end of the service. And yes, indeed, a couple years ago, I encouraged people trying to make sure all the candles were being lit appropriately or quickly. And I said, it doesn't matter. Just make sure everyone gets lit. And as soon as I made that statement, no kidding, we had a wreath of thorns that were around our Advent candle, and the wax had dropped down. And no kidding, in that moment, the entire wreath caught aflame, literally caught on fire on the stage. We had to have someone walk up from the crowd and like put it out. That was Christmas Eve a few years ago. And so, not only do we get to celebrate Jesus' birth and ultimately the redemptive work,
absolutely,
that he would do on this earth, you can potentially experience something as ridiculous as that, Shoreline Church,
and that's
December 23rd.
And that's a beautiful picture of, dare I say, doing life together.
Yes,
and a beautiful picture of, no matter how much you think you have it planned out, things can happen.
That's exactly.
And it, again, it points to Genesis 3. Even the lessons and carols the other night, as we were rehearsing and planning and there was moments of, I was like, wow, I don't know if they're going to get that sound right. I don't know if this is going to work out. I don't know if this is going to work out.
I think there are a lot of those moments.
And
it worked out perfect.
And then we get to the actual event, and you're like, you know what? Even if something were not to go the way we planned, that doesn't ruin this moment. It doesn't ruin that we're all here celebrating what God has for us. And so hopefully you will join us at the one of the Christmas Eve services, and we're going to be traveling. We'll probably make it to the actual Christmas Eve service. We're planning on being back here in Knoxville on the 24th, but doing Christmas with the Wood family and then my mom, which is now the Wiegand family. That's her last name. And
nice.
So in Middle Tennessee and then maybe going to a light show or something, but hopefully being back here. I want my kids to always experience Christmas at their house.
I love that,
and
man.
So that's what we're going to be doing. What are y'all doing? Any traveling?
No, man. Yes, we're actually going to stay in town for the most part. We've been in the middle of the kitchen renovations, and it's all wrapping up. And so we're going to enjoy being at home for a few days. And I think after the holidays, Carrie and the boys may go and travel to see her mom a bit. But, man, we're just grateful for all the Lord's doing, grateful for a chance to kind of take a bit of a respite,
sure,
before the spring hits, and it'll be good for sure. So know that each and every week, if we can serve you any way even beyond this show, whether it's live here on Joy 620 or through our podcast, please, by all means, reach out to us. We'd love to serve you not only as a church or as a person of Hope Resource Center, mm-hmm, but even as a friend in the community, let us know. We'd love to serve you during this holiday season.
Yeah, and we'll be back here next week. I'm hoping, Jason, and I don't want to – I'm saying it on air because this is what I want to happen.
You want me to wear a Christmas sweater.
Well, that, and I want next week to be one of the most festive Christmas shows.
We will do it.
This world has ever seen.
Let's plan it.
Okay.
We will do it. It will be
Christmas
huge.
Music.
The whole deal.
All of that.
Jingle
of
bells.
That. Done. Done. All the way.
I love it.
All the way. We'll be back next week.
See here a picture of everything I was never meant to be.